Okay. You may wonder why everyone was so rugged up, given Thailand's not normally cold, but while we were there, they had the coldest cold season they've ever had, and it got down to 4 degrees, which we were completely ill-prepared for. But it was timely because we were able to give the kids blankets so that they were warm, even though we weren't. So, so we were selfless in our giving, which was lovely, but that's why everyone was as rugged up as they were, because it was freezing while we were there. So now we're going to have some sharing from G, from SP, and from Soraya and Chrissy. And they're just going to share about what they learnt on the trip.
Good morning. If you haven't known me, my name is G. I'm from the Hmong congregation upstairs. I was going to share a little bit about my experience or what I learned from this trip. Now, when I was young and still in school, my parents always said to me, you know, study hard, and you know, it will help you in your life. But you know, being young and youth and not listening to their advice, now it comes to that, you know, those advice really, really mean it and really help. So today I want to share a little bit on what I learned, and that is through educations. You know, educations, there's a lot of things that happen that we do and that's really good and will help. I learned from it. But one thing that I want to share today is educations, and that is, you know, a lot of people over there, a lot of children, but not everyone has a chance to learn. But those, this program that Scott and Chris have put through has really helped putting some of those children, give them a chance to learn some educations. And those educations will really change their life forever. Not just that, but so those educations that we or as a team and them have a chance to share the gospel with them, share God's love. You know, when I first thought of missions, it would be, we're just going to go over there and tell them about Jesus and tell them about God and what he has done for us. When I go over there, it's totally different. It's not that, I mean, the main goal is that, but to get to that, there's a lot of steps that goes on the way. And to me, for the programs to happen and for the children to get education is really important. Not only over there, but that I can also bring it home. To me, you know, being born overseas and come here, as English is my second language, it's really, really hard for me also. And sometimes I mad at myself not study high enough, that, you know, with better educations that I can serve God better. You know, I'm not saying that without educations or English that I can't serve him. That's not an excuse. I can serve him as I am, but I'm just saying that if I were better equipped, that I could be able to serve him, you know, into the next level or better. What's this mean for me at home, you know? Now that after coming back on this and seeing this, I go through, and every time that the school gives out reports from my children, so I read them and see that my children are not performing well also. And this really put on my heart that I, as a parent also, as my parents advise me, that I should advise my children also. But to go one further than just advising, that, you know, what can I do? And this brought my heart that, you know, I should look into other support for my children also. Not just rely on the education system that we have over here, but it's good, but it's not enough. It's not enough for someone that with English is not a mother's tongue. It's hard to compete and to be equipped. So that means for me is that I will require from my side is to get them some more support. And as that, it's been put on my heart that I'll need to look into one-on-one tutoring for my children. And that really put on my heart. So Not just that, not just educations, but to have someone that who's to have Christ in there also. Not just learning about English and English alone, but to have Christ in there so that they don't forget about Christ and just focus on the world things. So it's really from my heart to look for someone with a tutoring, but with the English, which English tutoring with Christ Center. So I'm open for any. So if you or anyone that has or know anyone who's interested, please come and see me, and that will be really helpful. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Good morning. For Patricia and myself on this trip, this would be our third trip there. And to tell you what we've learned would take a lot more than 1 hour. But I'll be very concise and just pick on some highlights. It has been a wonderful privilege to go out there on missions. And it does... I think sometimes we have this idea when we go on mission trips, we're doing things for others. That is true, but something else is also true, that you get a lot out of it in what God does in your heart. That can happen. And when we were on this trip and in the past trips, what we really learned about the people there was that they are content with very little. We have very much in this country, but we are always looking for more. We're not content, but they are content with very little. Just the boys' dormitory alone, just upstairs in that dormitory, all of the kids sleep on plywood beds. At the most, they would have a straw mat on top of that. And the wardrobes, let me tell you what it is. It's a bamboo pole about this long. It sticks out from the wall like this, out perpendicular to the wall, and it's got a wire to hold it up to the wall, and that's your wardrobe. You hang your clothes there. No doors, no shelves. Their basic meal, the typical meal, would be rice, veggies, some of which they plant themselves to save cost, and some mince. Okay, mince comprised of probably the whole pig just stuffed in the grinder or something like that. All the parts go in, all right? You can find bits of bone and stuff. So they live on very basic, but they are so hungry to learn. And if you just give them the opportunity to be able to be educated, they go very far. A lot of the kids... at the dorm have performed exceedingly well in the schoolwork. It's amazing. Now, what they need, we learned, is very little funding. Let's say, for instance, to fund a child to stay, to live at the dormitory during school term. So, because, you see, what happens is that they live in the mountains, and some of them take at least 3 hours just to get to that school. It's a public school. It's a Thai school. But to get there, they take 3 hours. They have schools up there in the mountains too, but those schools don't really teach as well. And so to come down here to live at a dormitory during school term and to provide them with food and a caretaker and transport, it costs about 350 Aussie dollars for a year. That's for one child. It's not much. So when we... went there, what we realize is that we can do so much for them. Now, a lot of times in church, what we think of is, let's equip ourselves, study the Word of God, and, you know, equip for what? To be equipped for what? That's a question. When we equip ourselves, is to serve in ministry, whatever it is. It could be here, it could be there, but it must be something. And this trip has given us opportunity. Pat and I have committed ourselves to long-term with this Thailand ministry, to be there year after year, to help in many other different ways. But with the blessings of having Hmong brothers and sisters, now we can go there and teach the Bible and communicate with them in such a way that they understand so clearly. And we are so thankful that out of this trip, 6 children accepted Jesus Christ. All right. I'll leave more some time for the rest. Thank you.
Darling, before you start, can I just say that when Chrissy and I first started in our ministry in Thailand, we wanted to make sure that whatever we did, Soraya was part of it. She's not an add-on extra downman who's not part of this. She is as much a part of the Thailand ministry as what Chrissy and I are, and we value her input. And on this trip, she inputted so much. She is a little girl who's 8 years old, but her graciousness, she put up with us taking her to places that we couldn't believe she absorbed. She's standing beside a man with a lap on. I mean, it's a lot for a little girl from Springwood to take in. And we were just so impressed. And I guess for Chrissy and I, we're proud of her for the way that she responded to the things that we exposed her to on this trip. So I don't want to burst her bubble and take the...
Hello, my name is Soraya. When I was in Thailand, I saw my old friends and met new friends. I learned in Thailand again that there are so many poor people and how rich we are. Some of the children don't have a mum or dad. They are orphans. They sometimes don't have enough food and their houses are very empty of stuff. The children don't have many toys. I have so much compared to them. Sometimes I forget this and I want more things. I have a puppy dog money box and some of my school banking money, birthday and Christmas money I get from my grandparents and uncles and aunties I give to help the children in Thailand. I want to be a person who shares and cares about others. I need God's help to do this. My favorite verses are, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thank you.
I think one of the things Soraya has inherited from me is that she needs to learn lessons over and over again. And I loved when she wrote there that sometimes I forget that I have so many things and she wants more. And that's me as well. And what I'd like to share is a response to this picture that you see. And again, this building is Wat Rong Kun, or it's called the White Temple. I first saw it 5 years ago when we were actually living in Thailand, and this year we took the team out to see it. It's a spectacular sight. It's magnificently designed and constructed. It is white with small pieces of glass embedded into it so that it glistens and sparkles in the sun. With the blue sky and the green rice fields surrounding it, when you first see it, you can't help but go, wow, that's great. This temple has been the life's work of one man, a Thai artist, Ajahn Chalamchai. He's completely sold out, dedicating his life to begin the temple and also ensure there are a team of followers who will continue building it and maintaining it after his death. Why is he doing it? Firstly, out of his devotion to his Buddhist faith. Secondly, to showcase traditional Thai Buddhist art and architecture. Out of his love for these two things, he's devoted his time, his talent, and his treasure. I was challenged 5 years ago, and I was challenged again. I have a faith, a Christian faith. What am I doing? How devoted and sold out am I to my Lord? Of course, God doesn't want me to build a grandiose temple. As a Christian, I'm not saved by works, what I do. I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me, dying on the cross and taking on himself my sin out of his love for me. The world does not have to see what I do for the kingdom of God. We don't need to show it off. But am I prepared to sell out for Christ? Am I prepared to give him everything and show my love and devotion, no matter what it takes or what it costs? This one man has done it, but he is on the wrong path. As a Christian, we're on the right path with the gift of eternal life to share with the world. I grapple with this question daily, and I really do. Do I have the love, the motivation, the determination, and the courage to do what God has called me to do? Will I live for me and my comfort? And I would like to do that. Or will I risk all and live for God? What I do with my life really matters. And what I do with my life can really make a difference.
Let's take some time to commit our prayers to God. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're wonderful, mighty, great, sovereign God. You're all-powerful. And sometimes we fail to see that. We fail to live that in our lives as a reality. And we cringe when little problems crop up. But we fail to turn to you. Father, help us that we might see your true greatness and that we might bend our knees before you and trust you for all things. Father, may we acknowledge that you are in control and that you love us very much. And because of that, we can come to you with our prayers. Lord, we know that there are many people around us and here right now who feel the strain of life, who feel the problems that are associated with long-term illnesses, even aging. And Lord, we pray that each person will just come before you and seek comfort and refuge in you, and that their hope might be placed in you. Lord, forgive us for our sins and our trespasses, for they are many. If you were to hold it against us, we would not stand a chance. But we thank you for the work of your Lord Jesus Christ, when he sacrificed himself on the cross that we might live forever. Thank you. Father, we pray for the people who are working there in Thailand on the front lines, who face some of these things that we shared about day in and day out. We pray for the staff of MMF who are helping to manage a lot of ministries there. We pray for Jah as he helps and looks after the dormitory. We pray for Ajampanya, that Lord, you might provide them with strength and wisdom and resolve always to do what is right. And we pray also, Father, as the rest of this program to this morning unfolds, that your Holy Spirit will use what is shared to touch the hearts of many, perhaps out of slumber, perhaps out of slothfulness, perhaps even for those who are looking to and seeking to find a way to serve you, a ministry area that they can be involved in. Lord, we thank you for the four different congregations in this place, and we pray that each Sunday that you empower the speakers, the preachers, to deliver your word powerfully, that your Holy Spirit might continue to work in the members here, the congregation that settles in here. Touch their hearts, inspire them, empower them, that they might go forth and bring you glory and honor. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I wasn't joking. SP actually did teach those boys how to rap. we know that there's lots of talking today. We're going to have a little bit more sharing now from Branny, Pat and Ryan. The reason we're talking to you and reporting back is it's important for us to do this. It is our responsibility as we leave the church to come back and to report back to you as an act of encouragement, as an act of just sharing, but also accountability for what we've done out on the field. And so I'll hand it over to Branny, and she can share. Where to from here?
Okay. My name's Branny, for those of you who don't know me. You don't very often see me here in the English congregation because I belong to the youth congregation. Not that I'm young. I'm young at heart. But my husband's serving there, so I'm his psychic to help in the youth congregation. Last December, I have the privilege of going to Thailand for the second time with Scott and Chrissy. And I can see the difference in terms of the relationship with the people there. When Lillian was sharing about, you know, how maybe our money is best used to maybe buy supply and buy resources and just to support the people there rather than having us flying all the way there and, you know, using up all those precious resources. But I can see the wisdom that God has put into Scott and Chrissy's heart about going back, and SP and Pet's heart about going back to this mission field year after year. When I was there 2 years ago, we were there to serve them. We were there to run an English camp. But then the relationship was a little bit cold. Reason being that in Thailand, there were so many mission teams going through that place every year. And these kids and other kids as well, they've seen all these people coming through their doors, doing fun things, and then they're gone. They never see them again. But the commitment to go back the second time that we were there, and we see some familiar faces. When we were in the dormitory, I see some of these teenagers, their eyes just... they lit up. I know that person. I remember Andre. I remember Andre's mum. And then we built our relationship. We deepened our relationships. And it made me feel like the mum of 50 more kids that I didn't give birth to. But I just love them. God helped me to love them, and they loved me back. And that's really precious. And so mission trip is not just about serving them, just like SP said, but we receive so much more. And it opens up our eyes and our hearts to serve these people. Where to from here? Well, of course, because now these kids at the dormitory in Tawang Pa and also at the Burmese school, they have a special place in my heart because they are now my kids as well. I would continue to support them financially, and of course I will pray for them. And what I want to do this year is that I want to learn Thai. I know Pat has started, she's got a head start last year. I've bought myself a Thai book, and I've borrowed from Pat CDs to learn Thai with, and so this is my project. Because I can see the value in learning their language and communicating with them. So this is one of the things that I need to do. And the other thing is that when I'm not in Thailand, what am I doing? God has brought to my attention this Bible called the Poverty and Justice Bible, which Scott has also spoke about to us before. When we were in Tawang Pa and in Chiang Rai, visiting the dormitory and the Burmese school, we not only saw poverty, we also saw injustice. Injustice being that they were deprived of the privilege of being a normal citizen, to have the freedom to access education, to have the freedom to move around the country even. And for the Burmese kids, their parents were exploited as cheap labor. Sometimes they don't even get paid. They were treated unjustly. They were treated as second-class citizens. And so it's very important for us to pray for them and support the ministry that is still going there to help them, which is MMF. But also, God has put in my heart that while I'm here, have a look around where I live, in the community, in this country. There are a lot of poverty and injustice around us as well. And in this Bible, there are highlighted passages about how God sees poverty and injustice. And so I'm hoping that God will give me a sensitivity towards people around me so that I can uphold His justice and glorify His name even here in Australia. And I'd like to share with you one verse from this Bible, which is a contemporary English version, from Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 2 to 3, and also verse 15. The Lord says, "I am the Lord, so pay attention. You have been allowing people to cheat, rob, and take advantage of widows, orphans, and foreigners who lived here. Innocent people have been victims of violence, and some of them have even been killed. But now I command you to do what is right and see that justice is done. Rescue everyone who has suffered from injustice." And then verse 15, when the Lord is talking about King Josiah, the Lord says, "He always did right. He gave justice to the poor and was honest. That's what it means to truly know me." So my desire is that I will learn to truly know God through upholding justice wherever I am, here in Brisbane, in Australia, and as well as in Thailand. Thank you.
Okay. A few people have mentioned, SP Scott and Brandy have mentioned that SP and I have committed to going to Thailand as much as we can every year. And so this is the third trip that we have been. To me, it's very hard for me to say, is there anything new that I have learned or where to from here, because we had decided that we will continue going. But the highlight of this trip for me are three questions. Question number one was when we were visiting the Malabri village, you know, where you see the old man with the loincloth. He wasn't the one that struck me as the highlight. But meeting four young teenage girls, I think for a few of us, we all had this question, and some of us voiced it. Why aren't you at school? That was the question number one. The second question was when we were in the dormitory, one of this young boy who was about 8 or 9 walk up to Johnny, looked past him with our eye contact and asked him, "Big brother, now that you're here, how long are you going to be here for?" Question two. And the third question was when SP and I met with the two Bible college students that we support, and we had Johnny and G with us to translate for us. And one of the girls asked this question, "Why are you doing this?" Meaning, why are we doing this to support them? And so these three questions were the ones that remained in my mind as I keep thinking back about this trip. We assume that teenage girls should be at school, but these girls shrugged their shoulders and basically just expressed that they don't go to school. And they were probably about 14, 15 or 16. And it kept bugging me in my heart. And I'm just thinking, if I were to return to the village today, will the four girls still be in the village? They could be gone. They could have been taken as mistress or wife by a man, or they could have been kidnapped and, you know, prostituted to somewhere. And for the young boy who asked that question, you are here, but how long are you going to be here for? Again, I kept thinking, we go on short trips like this. We're not there for them all the time. Can we be there for them all the time, even while we are away? Our prayers, our thoughts for them. And for the two girls who asked, why are you doing this? Why are you supporting me? And this girl who asked this question said that my father asked me, who are these people, Pat and SP? Why are they sending you to school? And this was a question that also remained in my heart. Why am I sending someone else's kids to school? But then, last month, we received a letter from the other Bible college girl. Her father had passed away a day before her 28th birthday. And she was expressing how lonely she felt. And at the end of the letter, she said, "Thank you in Thai." This is what I try to read. In Thai, "Thank you, Paul SP and May Pat," meaning Father SP and Mother Pat. And then I realized, why am I doing this? And I don't have the answers to all these questions that I can immediately give to you, but I think there are questions that we can think about ourselves in our hearts too in regard to mission. Thank you.
Hello, if you didn't know me, I'm Ryan and I'm from the youth congregation. After going on the Thailand mission trip, I've seen their need for support educationally, spiritually, and financially. And a lot of them do not have the stuff that I have, like a phone or their own room. I would like to help provide for the needs of the kids in Thailand rather than indulging myself in what I want. I want to commit to helping them financially by donating some of my pocket money to help with the kids' education. I commit to pray for them and grow spiritually, since a number of them have accepted Christ while we're there. I want to keep in touch with them through social networks such as Facebook and sending them cards to let them know that they are not forgotten, and hopefully visit them again sometime in the future. Thank you.
I'm just going to close with a very, very brief message. When we were in Thailand, we saw some amazing things. There's one of them. We were driving out to Tawang Pa. It's about a 4.5-5 hour drive, and Pat took that out the front windscreen of the car as we drove. It's an overloaded truck, and they actually overload them so often that they do topple over. They become so top heavy that they do just flop over from time to time. But on this trip, we were also guilty of overloading trucks, and our overloading didn't sort of result, or we didn't put just stuff in it. We put people in ours. And in Thailand, believe it or not, it's actually legal for you to do this as long as the driver and the front passenger have their seatbelt on. Because that will keep everyone safe. No worries, we're all safe as long as the driver's got his seatbelt on. So we adapted culturally. And so everyone wanted to be in the back rather than in the car, because of course we can't do that in Australia. So we learned very quickly that this is fun, But on one instance, Johnny realised that it could also be very painful. Can you see him up the back there? Yes, he got squashed. And so it can be painful. And so overloading can cause problems. Just as an aside, in Thailand, you may not know this, but can anyone guess the annual road toll in Thailand? Now, in Queensland, you know, it's 350, 300, you know, people are aghast. Every life is precious. We don't want to make light of it. But 300, 350 people die on the roads in Queensland every year. Thailand, any takers? 26,000. 26,000 people die on the roads in Thailand. And of course, we were being really responsible when we were there, driving around like that. But 26,000 people. It is the sixth most dangerous country in the world to drive in, per capita. And so lots of people die, and it's usually either because of overloaded trucks or because people are on motorbikes without helmets. They're the two main reasons. So why are we talking about overloaded trucks? Well, last week I read a devotion, and it said, just as things like cars and trucks can be overloaded, so our lives can be overloaded as well. But this overloading doesn't come in the form of stuff, but it comes in the form of fear, struggles, hurt, and heartache. And sometimes these loads we carry in our lives make us feel like we're in danger of going under. But as the devotion said, in those times, however, it is reassuring to remember we have a remarkable resource, our Heavenly Father, who stands ready to help us carry the loads we often try to carry on our own. In our last 10 years of being in Thailand, living there, and then back here supporting stuff there, we've seen little children, Soraya's age and older, carry tremendous loads. And they do it, more often than not, without knowing Jesus Christ as their Saviour. These kids live in a dark world. And when they see that spark, that light that comes from Jesus Christ, they pay attention. They see that something is different from the darkness that they've lived in. And their darkness not only stems from their circumstances and from their situations, it also stems from the spiritual darkness that is in the villages that they live in. What's more amazing is that God often chooses, and more often than not chooses, to use his people to share that light. We, I guess, have taken on board that responsibility by the work that we've done in Thailand. And we are aware of what comes with that. It's a tremendous responsibility to say, I am a Christian. I am here to serve you. Because people then will then pay attention to your life, how you live, how you speak, and how you behave. While we were in Thailand, we had a devotion that we went through every day. And I just want to mention three things that I learnt from that devotion on this trip. Remember, I've got two hands here. Here we go. Sorry for the small print. But Proverbs 13:23 says, there is abundant food in the field for the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. There's enough in this world for everyone, but injustice and greed sweeps it away. And you know what? More often than not, we're actually part of that injustice. We go to the shops and we say, wow, look at that. It's a $6 soccer ball. I'll grab that. But a child in another country is trapped in slavery making that soccer ball. And we've actually helped perpetuate that injustice by buying that ball here in Australia. And it doesn't end there. It's all over, and it's part of living in a globalised world. But we contribute to that. Today, 20% of the world's population use roughly 80% of the resources. And this inequality produces devastating consequences for the poor. It's that same theme that we've had today. We have lots, but we want more. We need to change our hearts so that we live a simple life for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of people in other parts of the world. God's love of justice presented in the Bible needs to be recognised and acted upon by his people. And to ignore issues of injustice is to ignore a fundamental aspect of what Jesus taught us. The second part, or second point, is from Proverbs 14:20, and it says, "A poor person is disliked even by his neighbours, but those who love the rich are many." People don't like hanging out with poor people. They just don't. It's part of our sinful nature. We'd much rather hang out with rich people because, of course, they must be successful, they're smart, they're wise. You're hanging out with power, aren't you? But if you hang out with the poor, well, they're disempowered, they're disengaged. Who'd want to do that? And Jesus did. Do we want to be like Jesus? Do we want to go out there and hang out with poor people and show them love and grace and mercy so that they may have a life that is rich in Christ and a life that will take them to eternal life in heaven? The last one is from Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hold on. Am I holding it the wrong way? Oh, there we are. Thank you. Chapter 6, verse 17 and 19, and it says, "Command those who are rich in this world's goods not to be haughty or to set their hope on riches which are uncertain, but on God, who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous givers, sharing with others. In this way they will save up a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the future, and so lay hold of what is truly life." What is truly life, everyone? Truly life is living a sold-out life for Jesus Christ. Last week, I was challenged immensely, and we won't have time to show it today. It's unfortunate because we've run out. But show it? Chrissy says show it. Okay, it's 2 minutes. We're going to show it. This came across my path. It blew my mind. We are so good in the West at making excuses. I can't do this because... I can't do that because. Because is the most dangerous word that we can have in over our vocab as Christians. This video crossed my path. This little girl, she's 9 years old. She goes to a gallery with an exhibition on human slavery. She sees a picture at the back of the room of two little boys in Nepal with two slabs of rock attached to their head. And she says to her dad, "Why aren't they playing like me?" And so it developed a conversation developed, and she said, "I'm going to do something. I'm going to save 500 kids from that life." So what did she do? She started making lemonade. And now in America, she runs a lemonade company that sells lemonade with all profits going to rescuing kids in slavery around the world. Have a look at this. We'll have a look at the video.
"In documenting indigenous people in more than 100 countries on 6 continents, my entire vocation is based on observing, and yet I hadn't seen it.
If I don't know, how many other people don't know?"
We strolled to the back of the gallery, and there was one photo in particular of these two boys who have these giant rocks strapped to their heads. We showed Vivian this photo, and she just looked at it in this really pure and beautiful way, and she said, "They should be playing."
"I want them to know that it's okay to have fun. It's okay, you can be a kid now. Everything is gonna be okay."
She said, "I want to free 500 of these kids." And it was this gigantic, audacious goal, and we're thinking, okay, wow, talk to us about this.
"I'll set up my lemonade stand." And they said, "That, honey, that's a lot of lemonade."
And she wants you to make a stand with her for a very special cause.
Yeah, a little girl from the North Bay is fighting against child slavery.
She's making her mark on the world.
"I am 9. I have been making a stand for 322 days in a row.
People fall into slavery not because they're willing and not because they're stupid. It's because they've been lied to.
It exists everywhere. Every country is afflicted with slavery."
I thought, how could this be? Wasn't this already taken care of in the 1800s?
even if you have some trepidation, all your choices are bad. And so you say, okay, and then your child is gone.
With something as simple as a bar of chocolate or a cup of lemonade, you can reach halfway across the world and help a family out of poverty, help a kid stay in school, and help keep hope alive. What we do makes a difference. What we do with our lives makes a difference. That's a blessing, that what we do matters.
Okay. The last words, what we do matters, and we can make a difference in this world. Now, is that little girl a Christian? I don't know. But what I do know is this, she did something. And we are Christians, and we have the power of God in our lives. So what do we need to do? We need to focus on the Lord. Not be distracted by the things that we have in our lives, but we need to focus on the Lord, and then we can make a difference. So before you go today, we want everyone to take a hand with them. And you can see this thing over here. It was meant to be a tree, but it looks more like a shrub. So this is the shrub of life. And we did this last week at U Time. And what we did is we gave them to the kids over there and we gave them a hand. Why did we give them a hand? Because everyone's handprint is different. You are an individual. God has given you gifts and abilities that are unique to you. How are you going to use them to support global mission? And so today we want you to take a hand home, and we want you to write on that hand a pledge of how you can support global mission. It might be through prayer. It might be through giving. It might be just by learning more about it. It might be by contributing in some other way. But in this next week, we want you to think about it, how you can contribute to God's work in mission. So thank you today for your time, and we hope that it's been a time of encouragement for everyone. So we'll get the team to hand out the hands, and we'll pray before we do that. Okay, so just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your love. We thank you, God, that you are gracious and your mercy abounds around the world, and that you send people to the farthest places so that others may know about you. Lord, we pray for everyone here, that we would all contribute to your work in the mission field according to our gifts and ability. Lord, give us courage. Give us a heart and a desire to serve and to make your light known to the world. Lord, we thank you for everyone that came on this team and for their testimonies today, and we pray that you would continue to guide and lead them and guide and lead those who are here today. We pray in